Planet Fitness's best deal ever.
Super free.
Get your first month free. No enrollment, then only $10 a month.
Your first month free, yeah.
Get moving in our clean and spacious clubs with your first month free. No enrollment, cancel anytime. This one-time deal ends tomorrow.
As of last week, I guess, and the week before, when it's sort of been in between guests that I've been picking up for the show here, trying to keep away from the big C talk, and not talking about cancer, but the other one that's been sort of plaguing us for the last year, because seems to be with YouTube talks or opinions about this matter and discussions about this, which should be properly legal and properly reasonable. Seem to get strikes, so we're gonna avoid that for now. And I don't know. And then other things in the news. I actually, for the past sort of week since the last time, I really haven't been following the news too much at all, because I have been following it, but not watching it as intently as I normally do, because it seems to be the same old lip service with more lockdowns here in Canada. Stricter protocols that the world is basically ending. We got to shut down things. And then you look at the stuff that's happening in the States. It seems to be improving in the warmer areas, but other areas, not so much. And whatever the situation's going on that with that government in the U.S., which does indirectly and directly affect Canadian trade and probably in decisions, stuff like that, and travel. It doesn't seem to be changing too much at all. So what else was it? So over this time, I've been watching a lot of old podcasts, not just from this network, but older stuff from the paranormal, old Coast to Coast stuff, interviews, lots of old Howard Stern interviews with band members and stuff like that, that sort of break up the monotony of that. And just, but really, looking into more things that we've been discussing here on the paranormal, on a delicious recipe here, dealing with little people, ghosts, extraterrestrials, Bigfoot, all the weird stuff like that. And these are all things that I'm asking for your stories of events there. You can send them there to theDeliciousStories@gmail.com and add your stories there. I'll keep your name there private and confidential, and I'll add them to my site that I have there on Facebook, which is The Delicious Recipe and, with The Delicious Stories. And I'll post them on there. I'll keep your, like I said, keep your name private, and that'll change around names or whatever, unless you want your name to be known and stuff like that. And just a fun little thing to add for stories and that, that some things that have occurred in your life with weird events, things you might have saw, and just by having these stories and putting them out there, you'll see that maybe other people will see stories of this that are had similar things and make this big world a little bit smaller. So other than that, for weird stories, Laura, you've been checking out that Nukes Top 5. That's just one of the channels that we check out stories there, and which we've said before is really interesting, because he doesn't give an opinion on whether or not these things are true, hoaxes or whatever. Allows you to sort of make up your mind. And one of the very first stories that was on the one that came out last week, and this is why I find this so amazing about when you watch all these channels that are posted on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and that with all these paranormal channels, and there's millions upon millions of them in millions of different languages. And you really start, you look at them and you wonder about how much of these could be sort of fake. And this really, this first story, which was sort of interesting, is that there was this one about this stroller with a baby that died out in the woods. And I guess the baby died out there and it's by a tree, and there was a bell hung up there. And then if the bell rings or if the stroller's moved,
If you wake the baby, this was actually from this week. He didn't put a video up for 2 weeks. It was in Italy. He's featured this Italian paranormal team before many times. And what it was, the lore about this is in some forbidden forest. They didn't say in Italy, but somewhere in Europe. And nobody knows what happened, but deep in the woods, there's an old type of stroller. Some people may call it a pram. And there's a bell hung over top. And the story goes, if you wake the baby, there is a very dangerous evil entity that will take it out on you, basically, if you do. Sorry, I wanted to just give a little bit of lead in. So what happened? Oh, you can share. It
was pretty cool. So the interesting thing that I sort of was the one thing that sort of stood out there about this this stroller, and it was nicely painted blue. It was still looking pretty pristine. The white fabric that was in there for being out in the forest was still pretty nice and cleanly white and like clean looking. It doesn't look like anything that I've left out in the backyard for 2 days that gets covered in dirt and dust and rain and that. So that was sort of a little bit interesting. And then this sort of bell that was over there, that once they touched the stroller, this little bell sort of tingled and that, and they got all worried. And I always find it interesting is how when people are filming this stuff to make, and I go back to always thinking about the movie, The Blair Witch Project, and the first one, and how people tried to make it sort of all jerky and moving around with their cameras, but everybody always seems to be in the center of frame, and the camera never seems to be pointing at something that they're looking at. What did you think about that one there with the nice clean stroller?
Okay, so yeah, I had a problem with that, but the reason why I had more respect for this team is because I've seen them featured numerous times on his channel, and the reason I like this channel and suggest Nuke's Top 5 is I find he's a bit of a skeptic himself. He never tells you what to believe, like you said, but he is also, I've seen him debunk certain things that people claim to be paranormal. He will also always just give you the evidence, see what you think. So had this been the first time I saw them, yeah, I would have been calling fake, absolutely. But he's got a pretty trained eye. Like he'll take some noise out of the audio if there's a supposed EVP. He's used different techniques in shadowing and shading, and he'll show you if there's something there. Now, the one thing that got me was apparently the head of the team, there was a woman and a man, Luca, I think his name was. And like I said, we've seen this team before. They're called PIT, Paranormal Investigation Team. They're now doing their channel on YouTube in English and Italian. But he provoked the spirit, and he was hanging on to the stroller. And he's saying, oh, my God, something feels like it's pulling it away before the bell rang. You didn't see any evidence of that. But what really got me was they used a flare. So there should have been something showing up, I would think, on this FLIR, because it usually does pick up, and I understand it's a heat signature type camera, but it usually will pick up some sort of entity, usually, if it shows up. So I have to call as well as you. Like, again, I'm even going to play devil's advocate. We don't know where it was in the forest. There was a lot of trees. Maybe it was well shaded. And that's why, but still doesn't make sense to me, because this is supposedly some legend and lore. So it's been out there for more than a week. It's been out there for, you know, it sounds like decades.
Yeah. It
definitely didn't look decades old. And even what I found suspect was one of them says, oh my gosh, I've seen something, because there's subtitles. It was in Italian. And it looks like this woman racing across in the forest. It just looked a little questionable to me.
Yeah. See, and this is what it comes into with a lot of these videos, and some of them do them a little bit better, which I sort of would have to sort of raise my eyebrows to, like, mm-hmm. thinking that, well, this might be actually a possibility, because I've seen some other ones that look that are pretty convincing or give you a sort of like, well, that this could possibly be a thing. Like there was one that was a couple of weeks ago with this, I think it was in Russia. And like, I was investigating an old farmhouse, and as he was coming around the building, you can hear a noise moving around in this part of this concrete building. Mm-hmm. And even though I was expecting to see something come out the door, and even when I watched it like about five times, it still gave like the hairs on my back of my neck jumped up.
Yeah, that was scary.
And mm-hmm. all it was is all sort of a spoiler alert. It was a cow. And
the cow, we watched that one, yeah.
But the way he was sort of walking and with the cameras, he's moving, he's focusing towards the doorway, and this head of this cow that was sort of down. It looked like some sort of being or whatever floating halfway through the opening of the door. Mm-hmm. And the cow's head is sort of turned and you don't really catch on what it
because
is.
You don't expect to see a cow there either. It wasn't like farmland or anything.
Well, I think there was a farm, like about, he said, or it was written in the description, was like a couple of miles away. So I guess it was an errant cow that had sort of escaped.
It was a deserted building.
Mm-hmm. And gone through this building. And that was sort of like, that was interesting. But he had also set up cameras. And this is one thing that I want to say about parts about people that like how with this deep, the part that I'm just going to debunk on this area is that if this Italian team had set up a standalone camera far away and was filming them around in the area of where they were standing as they're jerking around their individual handheld cameras, because you don't know if there was another person on the team ringing a bell behind them or another person that was running through the bush to make it look like the woman and stuff like that. Like, they no pictures of the surrounding as they're being in there. Sort of like it makes you sort of question things a little bit more, right? Because you're not seeing the whole scene. You're seeing little snippets and jerks.
Yeah, and that's what I want to add is this team has been featured before with not questionable evidence. I've seen some pretty spooky, creepy underground tunnel stuff that they've run into. But the other thing is that I like about Nuke's Top 5, he tells you where to find the whole video. He'll tell you if it's been sped up for time, if it's just a clip or what. So to be fair, you'd almost have to watch the whole investigation. This is just a tiny snippet of their investigation, right?
Yep, that's true. Yeah, and that was the first one that was on that one. And so that was just one part about investigations. And we've noticed this a lot on other teams or other channels that have been on there about the way things are being filmed. And I can understand if I was I am a skeptic of a lot of this stuff, but I do believe that there's some truth to this. It's, I don't know how provable it is until you catch one in a can or a bottle or something like that, that everybody can come in witness and see. You're not going to really know about that or catch it in some sort of energy field. It's sort of a video it's such a hard thing there now to use as factual evidence, because I think it was about a couple years ago when we were doing the cameras for at the house for setting up there, we were noticing different anomalies showing up on the night vision cameras and stuff like that, and just weird stuff showing up on the TV. And then you have go and start researching about problems with lenses and picking up different types of light and temperature outside, how they picks up mist in the air that by the human eye you don't see it, but it looks on the TV, it looks like there's a snow blizzard outside. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting stuff like that that you can look into this more. And then you can look at this editing software that's out there that can add images in there with shadows and with impressions. You can leave impressions behind and stuff, or not impressions behind and things. And the way you can alter this stuff at such a speed, because computers are getting so much faster now. And it's just like you have to sort of wonder, has this stuff really been hoaxed or fake?
I have to be fair, because I have run into people. I used to do the bulk of the paranormal, and there was other things that you did that we worked kind of as a team together in the last house we were in. And I have had people, I won't name this person, but they were on a show of an acquaintance of mine, and I used to call in every week. And I called in and they said, hey, well, give me a call and I want to hear more about your story and whatever. This is when I first was starting. This was like a full-time job, 12 to sometimes 18 hours a day researching. So I happened to call them. And this is before I realized that I had the abilities that I have, being a psychic and a medium and very clairaudient. No, I don't hear voices, but I hear spirit, if you will, my guides. And I heard in my head, you should tape this phone call, this Skype call. And I remember arguing, we all do that with our inner voice, right? I'm not taping it. Why would I tape it? I wish to God I had, because, and this isn't just one person. I've had a few people do things like this. He came on there. He didn't know anything really about her story except what I had shared in a 2-minute phone call calling in the night before to ask a question. On top of that, he didn't see any of our photo evidence. Then he started to diagnose me, didn't even know that I'm a registered nurse, and started diagnosing me with these made up psychiatric issues, and then told me that he felt I was suffering from what he liked to call it intergalactic satellite goldfish. And sorry, dude, I'm taking that one. I'm making it into a t-shirt. So all I said to him was, there's a reason why I'm telling this story. All I said to him was, you know what? Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I need to go. And I hung up. Now, I would have loved to have called everybody and said, this is what happened, but it was between him and I. He did the other thing to me, and I actually got very ostracized. There's a reason why I'm sharing this. And he went around telling everybody, you and I were making up our story, that it was fake, that we were doing it for attention. And there's been a few people along the line that do that. So I'm very ultra sensitive to call anybody out. I kind of call it putting this case that we're talking about. I would put that back up. I call it on my proverbial back shelf, where it sort of sits there, and something will either come to light if I look into it further, either proving it to maybe be a little bit more believable, or it will completely debunk it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think this was mentioned too, and I agree with this with Joe, our owner of the station, is that the best thing if you're going to have any type of photo advice proof is to have it on film. Right where you have a negative and stuff like that.
Because yeah, you get the old cameras, like the portable camera. Seraphine Hurley, who's my co-host usually for Tripping the Void, she suggested that as well. Or old-fashioned tape recorder that you're still using, a cassette. Those kind of technology that they weren't, I mean, there's probably a way to manipulate it still in this day and age. But it's a lot better where you can take those. You can still, I think, buy them. They're disposable cameras with film in them. You snap them and then you send them in to get the developed. And they cut, like you said, with the negatives. So they're a lot harder to fake.
Yeah. The only problem with, I'll just say with audio tape, though, is audio tape, you can re-record over top of it. Whereas in film, with the film, once it's shot with the picture, it develops.
No. I was talking for EVPs is what I was talking about, because people want to use ghost boxes and all this technology when a lot can really be picked up with an old-fashioned tape recorder.
Right, yeah. So that was just sort of interesting things, and that's why the question always comes out there, because this is what we do on The Delicious Recipe, is question everything. And that's the healthy way to do it, is it, whether it's from your government, your doctor, the person on the TV, on the news, or person mm-hmm. that's even on this channel, is question everything and research it yourself and look into things and how things can be sort of manipulated, faked, or if the information is factually true or partially true. And that's I think that's a really missed thing that people are sort of not doing there today in today's topic, is they're just blindly following supposed experts and things, or so-called experts in whether it is, I'm saying, in government, business, whatever, anything there. And that's you should always be questioning things and looking for possibilities. I'm not saying that everybody that's doing things is all fake and phony or nefarious and stuff like that, but a healthy person that has a logical mind should be questioning things all the time. And I think that's just one point that I always like to make known here for what I like to do on this channel, is going through stuff and looking at it a little bit more questionable, asking many questions. Did I say questions enough? I think I said questions about 15 times there.
That's so how important it is. No, you're right. And you know what? I was just saying this, a show was on about an hour ago, and I'm going to mention that, you guys. It's called People for People. It's out of Scotland. They've got a great show there. Check it out. I think it's peopleforpeople.ning.com. Live radio. They've got some really good hosts on there, good content. So make sure to check it out. It's a smaller network, and it's uncensored, is all I'll say, since we're not going to talk about that kind of stuff tonight. But you'll hear some interesting information and people on there. So make sure you do check it out, please. I want to give them a shout out, because they did have me on there today with my friend Karen, and then another show after that. But when you said questions and questions and questions and questions, you are right, Dahl, because the reason I mentioned all this is and I must say this at least five times a day, but I said it on that show just an hour ago, is I, or even before I said, I'm trying to remember, I did two things there, but my whole point is I keep saying that I think that 2020 and 2021 is actually the death of logic, common sense, and critical thinking. And not even applying to this situation going on globally, it's about anything. That's where I'm going with this big long story. Never mind, you're saying, you said questions, how long did it take me to say that? But my point is that you're right, like, we're not going into this with a suspicious mind, but I think it's really important to question, to check different sources. Like when you said expert, I've always had a, and I'm not pointing a finger at you. What I'm saying is, when someone says they're an expert, have we ever really seen the criteria, which really is like globally across the board, what an expert is, right?
Yeah, that's the same thing as you could switch expert with essential. We some people have marked what essential is when it's I guess it's this whole varying of speech, I would say. Has been, we've talked about this many times, and we'll sort of shift the direction here a little bit, is where we see how speech has been vilified and certain words have been taking a new context from what they were originally meant. And this is a whole big thing about putting things into perspective and context for when things were done, what things meant a certain way. It's like a lot of people, I'm not saying a lot of people, some people, when they're doing things, they will look back and phrase it, what happened 50 years ago relates to situations that are happening today. And the times and changing and verbiage of words and all that is totally different, or is being changed into meaning something different. And this is a confusing sort of process when people are giving arguments on and using parts of speech or taking even quotations from one little snippet or two lines out of two paragraphs. And so you don't have the before and the after, the context of what is being actually.
No, what we were talking about, why I was laughing, we've been discussing this lately about this new trend. Instead of saying you're a secretary, and it's not a new term, we've heard it for a while, administrative assistant or somebody that collects garbage. What are they? Waste management.
Something like that. Yeah.
So, but again, that's verbiage being changed, because what is wrong with disowning who you are? Like, why do you have to have this big title, what it is? And then most people have to say, what is that? And then they explain it. It's like, oh, like you're this. Why not just say what you are? You don't need to. I don't understand what the premise is behind that. I don't know. Do you?
It's a part, and this is I get a little bit back, because the reason this sort of popped into my mind was I was just watching President Biden's speech there, and I guess it was from the other day or today, and he was talking about, see, we're getting on track there. We just created 270,000 new jobs. Okay, and this is ends up being, this is like a political doublespeak or news doublespeak, and see, when I think about the word job, new job, it would be something that is created even when the existing stuff is. So if you had a country, we'll use the U.S. as a thing, and say there's 1 million jobs and 750 of those jobs all of a sudden stopped, okay? Mm-hmm. There's only 250,000 people working. And then you go and say, afterwards, you say, well, we just created 260,000 new jobs.
Right. Well,
what about that 750,000 jobs that were put on? You haven't created anything new.
Yes. Right?
You're just restarting something you already took away. New would mean we give you back those other 750, get back to 1 million, and then created 260,000 new jobs and positions.
But even with bestsellers, like how many times when we've had people, you and I have researched this, we watch a lot of stuff together about what a bestseller is. Want to tell them what a bestseller is, or what we've heard what that is too?
Well, yeah, people can check this out too, is that there's a process that's being done, because anybody can become a New York Times bestseller, and all it takes is a little bit of money, and what it is it just does about amount of books that are being sold and amount of stuff that's being there. So you can go and load up. And this goes into this whole thing about Amazon too. I want to get talk about there because this is crazy. This drives me nuts. But you could have a bunch of books. You have it there projected to sell. These go like this. And then this, the amount of books that were created and that, even though they didn't sell, but the store took them in.
Or the publisher buys them.
Publisher buys them in this. So they've just moved from one part to another. The books haven't sold, but they've been transferred over. So they're accounted as being sold, mm-hmm. right? That these all, they haven't been purchased, mm-hmm. right? So this becomes...
100,000 books, New York Times bestseller, right? And that's what it is. The mm-hmm. publisher buys them back from the person they sold them to. And it's an equal exchange. Like you said, it's not like anybody's owed any money, but mm-hmm. technically they're sold.
Right.
But they're sold back to the publisher to be sold again. So
sold right. mm-hmm. somewhere else down the line and mm-hmm. give them a bargain bid.
And not everybody, by the way, that happens too. We're just seeing examples of this and how it was explained from actually various big authors. I forget what documentary we were watching, and then we looked further into this because we couldn't believe this, but it's almost like money laundering in a way.
Yeah. Well, this goes into this whole fiasco about the Amazon online buying. And this is what I find is crazy, because there's a bunch of items that we've purchased for Amazon, and Amazon says, well, they're expedient and stuff like that. And so Laura has an Amazon Prime membership mm-hmm. account. And so she always says, okay, because it gives you free shipping and that.
It's fast.
It's supposed to be fast.
And right now where we are, I'm not trying to get into it, but it's a necessity to order online is all I'll say.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so what we'll do is, well, what she gets me to do is order things that say Amazon Prime, right? So you get the free shipping. And some of these things will be Amazon bestsellers. Some things will say limited quantity, and it'll have the little Amazon thing, bestseller, limited Amazon Prime.
In stock.
Or five left in stock, mm-hmm. or they just things like this, right? So there's other ones you can go buy that don't have the Amazon blue little tag that's on the mm-hmm. product price, right? So this is a part of marketing, getting into this. So you're going to be getting this. This goes along with your purchasing. You're going to get, this is something that Amazon's really doing. So after this long phone call that had happened last week, I think I probably talked about this last week as well. And I think two different days about this. And I was upset about it. Well, like, we've ordered stuff that's been waiting for almost 6 weeks to 8 weeks, 2 months. And these are Amazon products. Some things were five things left in stock. Are no longer available, but they already took our money for it.
Or they're in stock still, and they're yeah. selling it on the website. Now, my yeah. point is, and they couldn't answer this for you, and I let him deal with it, because as I used the exact words, he was molding it correctly. He wasn't getting upset. He was repeating his message. But these people that worked at Amazon, no matter how high up it went, could not answer this either. If you don't have it in stock, why are you still selling it?
Well, why is it marked in stock?
Yeah, in stock, qualifying for Prime delivery with, well, for us right now with what's going on, they say 2 days to a week. So we're still waiting. You have no idea when it's coming. You have no idea where it might even be or when you might ever see it. Yet you're putting on your website that it's available, that you have it in stock. It's available. You're taking people's money for this. So why are you doing this? And nobody could answer this for us, right?
Yeah, well, that was part of it. And then the one, we got further up there to this one supervisor. And I think it was, I talked about it last week about this wetsuit. Mm-hmm. And they said, here you go. I'm buying this one here. Because it was all to do with a credit, because they screwed something else up there. And then they weren't allowing this credit to be applied to this purchase.
No, because they never told us. When the girl was really nice, and she had given us a credit for that. It was basically, I believe it was almost for the Prime membership for 2 months, right? But she didn't tell us that in the very tiny, tiny fine print that it could only be used for Amazon products.
Amazon made products.
Yeah. So besides a Fire Stick and Amazon Echo, and you challenged this woman very kindly, very politely, to find something that we could use this credit. I didn't mean to cut that in, but you had tried to use this credit towards the wetsuit, and I'll stop there. You can finish the story. Sorry.
Yep. So then I had her on the line, and well, still talking to her, and I said, well, you go and search. Since you're a supervisor, you can do this a lot quicker than me. You have all the codes there. You find me this wetsuit that has this exact same. It says Amazon Prime delivery, this many in stock, and everything like that. This is, it says Amazon, you guys have it. You find it where it is that I'll have it here in 2 days. Well, this has already been over a week now, and it's
no, still... but remember she was about 10 minutes and you had challenged her to find something that we could actually use this $16 credit on that right. Was an Amazon product only. You tried with the wetsuit. There was nothing there. She couldn't find it, but she couldn't even find a product to tell you that we could use this supposed credit on.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the crux of where that sort of ended with this, this whole point of that I'm saying about this double speak, and it's a way of marketing and manipulating words to give you something. And this is another part that always bugs me the most. And I've mentioned this so many times about how people use percent incorrectly. Cause this just drives me nuts. And I've even
had, believe me, I hear about it.
percent means of 100. So percent, the number that goes in there can only be 0 to 100. Everything in between that. You cannot have more than 100 and you can't have less than 0. And if you can do this, I'll be amazed. If I drink 100% of this drink and you're telling me it's 110%, I'll finish the 100%. You go ahead and drink the last 10%. You can't do it.
Or 1,000% or
yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can increase an original thing. Percent moves with the final category of what you're trying to explain. Like you could have 50% of a pie here and 50% of a pie here. And then at the end you have 100% of one pie together cleaned, right? It moves along with stuff and you're taking it away. It only means of 100. And I watch mainstream media news use this. They said, well, we have cases that have increased by 360%. I'm going, what? They can increase by a timesing the original amount. The percent is only what the final product is, the final thing you're trying to say. It percent doesn't move that same way as the way that they're using. It's the same thing as like saying we have things that are marked 50% off. Okay, now mark it 300% off. Does that mean you get the product and then they give you 2 times the amount of what the product was paid for? Right, so you get money back plus a product. It doesn't work that way. And but that's the way media, government. I've watched government even use percent wrong in explaining things. Even with this pandemic, explaining percents and stuff like that. And the WHO and whatever all the rest of them, they all use it incorrectly for a large part because what they're doing here is just like this whole part about new jobs. 200. It's not, it's just this double speak. And a lot of my friends and that listen to this, they believe this. And they said, do you understand that it's not new or that the percentage doesn't work that way? And they have to really think about it. Some of them just like, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I just listen to whatever's on the news. I don't do any research myself. I just like whatever they're telling me.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I think that's a really dangerous way to live your life in a way, because
and we're not even referring to what's going on in the world right now. That was pretty well applicable to anything. And again, maybe it's from being with you. And I've said this because I've noticed a lot more things that I don't pay. He first explained to me what he notices when he goes in a room, the words out of my mouth before I could censor it were, oh my God, it must be exhausting to live in your brain, till I realized, no, your brain's always worked that way. But it rubs off on a person when you hang out with them all the time. And there's things that I now know, I go, how could I never have noticed that before? And it's the little details or the things in the background. And it's important. And the same thing is, you know, there's so much what people are saying is misinformation. They don't know who to believe. They don't know what to believe. And I'm not even referring to this. I'm talking about anything. So my point is, we all have a brain, right? Most of us have access to an internet, or there's books, or, you know, people that may have had that experience before, speaking to and looking up from various avenues, looking up what you find, because I believe knowledge is empowering. I don't think it needs to create fear, because once you understand something and know what's behind it, becomes empowering. It really does. And I'm finding we're losing that art of that, of researching and taking a look at things for yourself, not what your friends are telling you, not what other people are telling you. Use your brain and see, what do you think? Meaning the global you.
Yep. Well, that's just sort of the terms that, like, we've used here is people living in their own bubble or their own sphere, right? Their own environment. They're only paying attention to what's going on. And another part is that a lot of people run on autopilot or cruise control, and they're not focused in because they're focused in on this little device here, because that's where they're there. They're not noticing everything else that's going on. And mm-hmm. what we say, their bubble or their sphere of environment, they're only worried about what they're doing in their life and not noticing everything else that's going on around them. And that's that was the whole another part about having this chat or having this show and this channel, was looking at things a lot more and doing a lot more research into things and looking at further other avenues of people that aren't being reported in these documentaries that are on these national TV, national news networks, and or government funded PBS and whatever channels and stuff like that, or sponsorships and government grant money. Things is that there's other documentaries out there of people that are doing the research too, that don't get this stuff, that are have other parts. And that's one thing that I've noticed, that there's always a there's never a consensus on anything, any topic, period. There's always going to be
a consensus
on things. There's always going to be someone that's looking at this a little bit differently, and you, without getting that information or seeing something like there, how can you base your own judgment and understanding on that if you don't have all the information? And that's a another thing. That's just like the alphabet soup, right? You never know what words you're going to find until you take a spoonful.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what have you been doing there for your shows there with the paranormal, with these other things there? Like, I know that I'm going to be having, you just had Paul Anthony Wallace on. I'm going to be having him.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't bail on me, and he's
he
on.
Won't bail on you.
Mm-hmm. But just different things that I think that looking at this, the paranormal, we talked a little bit about that. There's also been about people having these channels and sightings like that. And I've always sort of wondered with a population increase, and I've looked at this too, is like, where the population is still increasing at the same rate it has for the last few years. I think it's at 1.14%. So, like, I think it was in the 1900s or 1901. I think the population of the Earth was around 2 million people or 2 billion. And in 120 years, we're up to 7.6 billion people. Yeah. We're at this increase that's going up. And a lot of this part about spirituality and deaths and people dying, I wonder, with us getting this many people dying, do you think that's why we're seeing so many more ghosts out there and paranormal experiences?
Oh, no. And this is just my thoughts, but having that conversation with spirit, as I call it collectively, and what I believe to be true is I believe, and this is going to PO, meaning piss off, maybe some people hearing this, but first of all, I don't think we're here by accident. I think everybody's here for a reason. I think we've lived thousands of lives and we will continue to live them, that we come to Earth to, if you will, or wherever we choose to incarnate in that lifetime, with a mission, if you will. There's going to be situations, there's going to be things that we've set out that will help our soul grow, if you will, evolve, life lessons. We have the choice to screw it all up. We pick our parents. We pick the people that are around us. Apparently, I pick you coming here. You pick me. And we've been together probably many lifetimes before. But I also believe as you become an older soul that you don't have necessarily an easy life. Like, and you see that, you can almost tell who's an old soul. There's that saying, you know, people say that person's an old soul. And you know, they've got a lot of wisdom, they've got a lot of knowledge, even they don't sometimes know where it comes from. They just, it's called claircognizance, it's just there. But I believe as we age as a soul, if you will, that we pick more and more difficult lives with a lot more trauma, maybe a lot more issues. And what happens, I believe we build in exit points into our lives as a soul so that we can, and as well, whether you're a new soul, an old soul, or in between, I always say this, we know from the minute we were born, we, our higher self, our subconscious knows when we're going to exit too. So this is, and again, this is just my theory, but I believe that if you've got a really difficult life, and you've heard this about people, some people have a near-death experience, some people have had like a horrific car crash, and how do they survive it? Whatever it may be, right? That was built into that lifetime that you could choose to leave. And you hear people telling stories about that, like maybe they've been in a coma and, you know, some of their experiences that way that they remember and they wake up. My whole point of getting to the answer of this is, I believe every single person that has passed from what's been going on in this lifetime, that when they leave, it's their time to go. It's their time. It's not like this was an accident, whether this may have been a planned exit point. Could they have lived on further? Possibly, maybe, but I don't think any of this is an accident, that we're not having all these earthbound spirits roaming around. And again, the other thing is, when we cross over, I truly believe that we have free will, which means that you have the choice not to cross over into the light. And I believe that may be some of the stuff that we're seeing with earthbound, if you will, or ungrounded spirits.
That's an interesting theory. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about this part there that I saw with Elon Musk and all these other technologies, mm-hmm. trying to put consciousness into the machine. And there's been a lot of talk about putting that in there. So would you, I'll just ask you a question on this. Would you say consciousness and the soul are the same thing?
No.
So you could remove your soul and your consciousness would be separate from your soul.
Okay, they're not the same thing. But I didn't mean they were separate entities. I think that they can be one and the same. I'm going to rephrase that, one and the same, but they're not identical. It's almost like they're like the yin yang. They go one, you can't have one without the other. So they're not necessarily separate. It's a whole entity, I believe, but you need to have both. That's just my thoughts.
Right. So this would come into the question there is putting consciousness or the human into the machine, mm-hmm. would you end up trapping the soul into the machine?
Well, then it depends what you believe about the soul, because as I go further down this path and the more research I do, more that I learn from spirit, that they say the past, present, and future is all happening at the same time. There is no time over on the other side. And then there's the theory that your soul is actually, you just have a piece of your soul in this lifetime, that there's the other pieces that have gone into other lifetimes. I don't know. I always say, I don't think we're going to know any of the answers, all of them concretely, until we go, I call it going back home, whether you want to call it crossing over, dying, leaving, whatever you want to call it. Because to me, if the past, present, and future is happening, and then we get into a complicated discussion of multiple timelines and dimensions, if there, because I've heard the theory that supposedly there is a version of yourself for every potential situation, timeline, and dimension there is. And if we all have a soul, is it just a piece of the soul that we have? It starts getting really complicated.
Yeah. Think about it just with that, the whole part with the Marvel universe and the multiverse.
Yeah, there you go. Even that's complicated to think of, right? And that's fictitious, supposedly.
Yeah, and that was just if people followed along with Marvel Comics and the Marvel universe and that when Thanos had the soul gem, the five soul gems, or was it six? I think it was six of them. Mm-hmm. I still follow comic books and stuff like that, is that mm-hmm. in the multiverse, each multiverse had their six, right? And they were all part, they were, there was the omniverse that, that encapsulated the multiverse. Mm-hmm. And when you're watching the movies there, you're watching it on Earth, was either Earth Prime or Earth 312 or 512. Yeah. That, but there was many other DC comics did the same thing,
yeah,
with tackling this multiverse sort of dilemma, or not dilemma, or the multiverse sort of idea. And mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of this document, like I watched millions of documentaries, even science shows there that they're even mm-hmm. dealing with string theory, that string theory might not actually be correct. And this is the whole part about these are theories. The best way that you can sort of understand a problem, and you got to understand that with a lot of stuff that's involved in this high math and theory, mm-hmm. is that some things are, they put in there, they put in values to mm-hmm. fill the void to make the equation work. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's a thing that happens all the time. That's why the things are called theories, right?
Yeah.
And if you listen to any scientist that's out there that is going on there, it says if they explain to you what a theory is, it's their best guesstimation,
yep,
of how we can sort of assume that it is, until something is discovered or comes along or some new knowledge is found that explains the part that we're missing. This is the best way that we can explain it. Mm-hmm. It's like with gravity, right? We all know that gravity exists and acts as a force and stuff like that, but how it actually explain it more than that, they can't explain it more than that. That's their best explanation on mm-hmm. how it is. And that's where you get all these other people talking about theories about buoyancy and electrical attraction and that. But then when you move mm-hmm. objects away from certain areas and how objects work and electrical fields, when you get quantumly small or infinitesimally big or infinitely big, things don't always sort of jive the same way. And that's the thing, ask questions, do some reading, do some research. And I understand that a lot of people are busy and stuff like that, that they don't even know where to look. And I'm not saying that YouTube is a great source for information in that, but there is a lot of other channels that you can find mm-hmm. on there that haven't been sort of taken down in that, or information which you can send you to their websites where you can read their information there, but it'll give you a good starting point to go off for things. What would you say there, Laura, for finding information?
I would. And again, I think whether or not, I hate the word conspiracy theory, but I think that we need to be cognizant that we should be using more than one search engine, not just the most popular out there. You'd be surprised what you find with different search engines if you want to use the internet. The other thing is, there's nothing wrong with going back to a book, especially things that have been written, say, before we were in this digital age. Speaking to people who have experience, like, and again, we get back to who's an expert and who's not. But if you know somebody that's worked in the field for a long time, they understood their job and what they were doing, regardless of what it applies to. But what, I guess my whole point is, be creative about where you get your information, and not just from one person or one source, because we have the capabilities. Yes, it might take a little time, but once you get used to being a critical thinker, questioning everything, like how you end your shows, Del, question everything, mm-hmm. and it's not coming from a suspicious nature. Because I think that that's how we learn, right? Maybe you find something that resonates with you in your research. You follow that breadcrumb, which leads to another breadcrumb, which before you know it, you're almost in the middle of the loaf of bread, if you will. But I think that it's enriching. Again, like I said, I think knowledge is empowering. And I don't think that research ever, ever will steer somebody wrong when you're in the pursuit of knowledge. But again, being very creative. And that's just thinking off the top of my head. I'll bet you if you and I, we get off of here, we'll be talking about, oh yeah, we should have mentioned this or that. There's many places to get information. It's just that so many people I'm finding, and again, it's not even to this global situation, it's everything, are so used to being spoon-fed everything, and everything's instant, that people have forgotten that I think that we have a brain. that we are able to do these types of things and we can think for ourselves. Nothing wrong with asking a colleague or a friend what their opinion is or what their thoughts are on something and having a thoughtful, peaceful discussion, hearing each other's point of view. You don't have to agree. But I think that that's how we learn. And there's a lot to even be learned from just having that type of conversation or discussion with another individual.
Yeah, well, that's the important thing, is why I'm so against censorship and the way that these social platforms have sort of done this, whether it's political or whether it's just for anything. It's just opinions and ideas on something. Mm-hmm. But when you have somebody that's in control, whether it's the platform owner or it's the government, or causing restrictions for someone just to have a thought, whether they're good thoughts, bad thoughts, any thoughts, you still have a choice whether or not you want to watch and listen to it as well. But also, there should be, all the information should be out there, and for you to reasonably go through and discern yourself what you take in. And that's the whole part about being an adult and being somebody that's doing actually reasonably questioning what's going on. But we're almost right at our time here, Laura. You want to tell them where they can check you out and what times?
Sure, you can find me. Normally, we're here on Tripping the Void. I think tonight we're going to be having a replay, and I apologize. Haven't been able to get a hold of my co-host. She must have something going on. So everybody gets a little break tonight. So normally, you can find me on Tuesday nights right after The Delicious Recipe with my bestie and partner in crime, Seraphine Hurley, on Tripping the Void from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern. On a Monday nights, I have my own show called The Angel Rock, which airs from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central. I know that's confusing. And I have great guests on there, talk about all aspects of the paranormal or supernatural. I say anything from UFOs, paranormal, power of the mind, power of positive thinking, talk about energy, many of these concepts we talked about tonight. And I always have guests on there through the work that they're doing. They make a positive change for humanity, and we share that work. So lastly, very quickly, I will add that you can also reach out to me on facebook.com/ The Angel Rock. You can always get a hold of me and find me on pretty well any social media platform as well. And I'm so glad I got to do this with you, Del. Thank you.
Yes. And you can check me out here, same time, same bat place, here Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. And like I said, next week, talking to Paul Anthony Wallace about his new book that just came out on May 3rd. I believe it's Scars of Eden. And just going through reading the other one first before I start the new one. And we'll be chatting with him next week. So take care out in the ether. Have a great night. See you next week.
See you next week.